You may have noticed earlier that there was another music group up here. This is the debut of a new group, the All For Him Quartet, made up of Buffy and Adam and Jocelyn and myself, and a group just created to provide special music for Sunday worship and outside of Sunday worship. So I ask that you just, for this song, you can sit back and listen to the message of Glory in the Highest with a familiar Christmas tune involved as well.
Come and worship, worship Christ. Bless you. Has anyone complained about the cost of gas recently? The confirmation devotion this morning that one of the students shared was, we have to keep that in perspective. So I've been drinking NyQuil for the last 4 or 5 days for me to survive and all that kind of stuff that happens. And she put it into perspective that if you buy a gallon of NyQuil, you have spent like $32. So a gallon of NyQuil compared to a gallon of gas puts it in perspective. So you're blessed with a shorter sermon this morning, because the longer I talk, the more my head fills up. It's also why I didn't greet people, and I won't be at the door as you leave. And Ryan and I are kind of working this together, so hopefully next week we'll all be better. See, I'm not thinking straight either. I got to read the scripture first. So this is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is at least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is God's holy word. Again, in this Advent season, a time of preparation, a time of anticipation, this year we are looking at the traditional readings for the season of Advent from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, and we have been focusing in on John the Baptist last Sunday and this Sunday. And John the Baptist has ended up in prison. We don't know exactly in this passage why, but if you go back to Matthew chapter 4, Jesus knew he was in prison. And then if you read in Matthew 14, it shares that John was in prison because he was speaking up against King Herod, who had taken someone's wife that wasn't his. And John was bold about that against the king. And so the king put him in prison, probably in prison for about a year's time at this point. He's in prison, but he's still hearing what Christ is doing. And that's important, what Christ is doing. Normally, Matthew the writer is talking about Jesus. But here in this chapter, it's what Christ is doing. And so John's in prison, away from normal everyday life, and yet he's still aware. And maybe with that almost year's worth of time on his hands and some extra time to think and to ponder and wonder, he asked this question of Jesus: "Are you the one? Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And we can understand that question that John's asking in terms of, he's questioning Jesus. Is he doubting his faith? Where is this question coming from? And you have to remember the Israelites. They have waited centuries for the prophecies of the Old Testament to be fulfilled. Between Malachi and the time of Jesus, 500 years, centuries that they had been waiting. Generation after generation have shared the prophecies. And a generation has passed and a new generation has come, and they were still looking. In a way, it's somewhat like us today. We are looking for the promised return of Jesus Christ. And Christians have been waiting over 2,000 years for that promise, for that prophecy to be fulfilled. And I imagine if you're anything like me, you have wondered if that promise is ever going to happen. There are people wanting it now. We're tired of dealing with the stress and the anxiety and all the issues of this world. Please come back today. And so John was wondering, like we can wonder. John was blessed to be able to send his disciples to Jesus and ask the question. And then Jesus responds. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Jesus goes back and talks or tells the people to go back to John and say, look what I'm doing. He's creating these miracles, but he's also preaching. He's preaching good news is preached to the poor. John has been hearing this of what Jesus has been about, what Christ has been about. And Matthew uses the term Christ to give us that understanding of what's next. That Jesus is the Messiah, and what is coming will happen. And he is the Christ, the one that they have been looking for. And there's a disjoint between what John the Baptist was expecting in Jesus and in the reality of the Messiah. John was bold. He was brash. That's why he found himself in prison. He didn't live just to be safe. And he put his faith out there. And he was calling people out to the wilderness, out from the sins of the world to repentance and confession and baptism. And John wanted Jesus to be the Messiah now. It was about imminent. He wanted the Messiah to come and have that new government take over rather than having to live underneath the order and the authority of the Romans. And so John began to wonder if he really was the Messiah. And in his response, Jesus takes on that mantle that he is the Messiah, but it's going to happen in God's time, not in our time. And thus, the seasons of thoughts of Advent, of preparation and anticipation, preparing constantly for that time when Jesus will return. And as John's disciples go back to share what Jesus had said, he then goes on to talk to the crowd. And Jesus is calling out the crowd, why did you go out in the desert to see John? Why did you go out? Did you go out because John was a reed that is like swaying in the wind, tossed in and out by the wind of time? Did you go out to see John in the desert because he was wearing fine and royal clothes? No. They heard about the word that John was offering in preparation for the coming of Jesus in his public ministry. John was not swaying back and forth in his faith. He was calling people to repentance. And he was not wearing fine clothes. He was a humble man, dressed in that camel hair attire. Why they went out to John in the desert was because he was preparing the way for Jesus. And in the term of Christ, and in the way that John was asking the question, he's providing food for thought, not only for the people of his age, but for us. They went out to see a prophet. A prophet, a direct messenger of God, to know God's word. And he was more than a prophet because John was living at the same time the prophetic word was unfolding when Jesus was physically alive. And then he closes in verse 11. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Because what was John the Baptist about? He was pointing people to Jesus Christ. That was his purpose, to prepare people's hearts. What was that first song you sang? Is there room in our hearts for Jesus? That's what John was preparing people for. He was pointing them to Jesus. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. It's not about prestige in this world. It's not about what royal clothes we might wear. But we can be greater than John the Baptist as we point people to Jesus. Now, some of us are gifted with words and we talk to people about Christ. Some of us have faith and have an outgoing personality, and you've never met a stranger in your life. Wherever you might be, in a store or on a trip, you can sit down next to somebody and you can talk to them. And you can bring up your faith in Jesus and point them to Jesus. You can ask them about their faith and have a conversation. Other of us, we don't want any part of that. And we can be those doers, those actions behind the scenes that help a church continue to grow and be vital, to help ministries in the community and form those relationships. Because Jesus was about doing and he was about speaking. And we can be greater than John the Baptist, not for prestige and honor, but for doing what John the Baptist was called to do what we are called to do, to prepare the way and to point people to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would continually open up our hearts, that there would be room for worship and devotion and service and ministry, and most of all, pointing people to Jesus. In his name we pray, amen.
With thankful and joyful hearts, we bring our offerings before the Lord, so I invite our ushers to come forward for our offering.
How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be a son of my own. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king who looks so small, his face and hands so fair? And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully, the Son of God. The angel said, how could it be? How could it be?
Dear Lord, we thank you for all your wonderful gifts, and may this just be a portion of what we give back to you. May our whole lives be yours, Lord. And Lord, may these gifts now be used for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. For our next song, we invite you to sing along with us, for He Shall Reign.
Oh,
Now may the Lord, who has created you, redeemed you, saved you, sanctified you, bless you, and keep you in his everlasting joy. Go forth in that joy in Christ's name. Amen.
Stop.